Welcome back to Coast. Our theme tonight, conspiracy. Are we living in a conspiracy, The Matrix? Now, you can check out my show, Fade to Black, Monday through Thursday. It's live. It's from 7 to 10 p.m. right before George. So you get a full dose of conspiracy and ufology and lost civilizations, all of that from 7 to 10. And then you just dial into Coast to Coast AM. You can go check it out right now at jimmychurchradio.com and say hello to our sponsors, which is KGRA and syndicated on talknetwork.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More of your calls right after this short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. Are we living in a matrix? Is this one big conspiracy? Do we now have to live a life of questioning everything that we know, that we have learned? That's the show tonight. Let's go back to the phone. Let's go to Mark in Baltimore. Mark, welcome to Coast AM. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mr. Church. How you doing? It's good to speak with you.
It's good to speak with you, Mark.
First of all, let me say this. I'm a military veteran. I held two security clearances at the same time. And as far as I have a girl in Hawaii, she should just search her heart and her mind and choose to believe what she wants to believe rather than asking so many questions and doing her research. She should just decide to believe what she, believes. And as far as the moon landings being a hoax, no, they weren't a hoax. Part of my duties were to work at one of the military test pilot schools, those Top Gun schools.
Okay.
And people can check me out. I can out myself. It's not a problem. But I've been inside there, and I can tell you that I've met and spoken with many of the test pilots who went on to become astronauts. So I can tell you for sure that the moon landings were definitely not a hoax. Now I'll get to my questions. First question is, has Philip Corso, the author of The Day After Roswell, been completely vetted out? Because the narrative in his book seems to fit so well. It's such a commonsensical explanation that it reads as if it's essentially true. Okay, so that's my first question. Has he been vetted out
Okay.
completely? And then my second question is, there is the existing video of the Gulf Breeze UFO that Ed Walters took Polaroid photographs of. Now, I don't know how you fake a Polaroid, and they were also checked out by photographic experts.
Yeah, Bruce McAbee did heavy research into that.
I don't know how you fake Polaroids, and he also captured a video of the same craft that was in the Polaroids, and I believe that video was, come from behind some trees at night and then appeared in the film at night. And so what's up with that, with the Ed Walters story? Because I haven't kept up to date with that. I mean, has he been completely debunked, and has Colonel Corso been vetted out completely, and or is the jury still out on his book? Because I've had a couple of sightings myself. I don't know I can't say what it was. I do believe in UFOs. So I don't know if they came from another planet or not, but I've had a couple of sightings myself. I don't know what they were or where they came from, but I am a believer. So those are my questions, and I'll be happy to take your thoughts off the air.
Okay, you got it, Mark. Thank you for those. Okay, well, I'll start with Colonel Corso first, and the day after Roswell. When that book was released back in the mid-90s, I couldn't wait for it. And across, right next to Coast here, right down the street on Ventura Boulevard, was a bookstore. And so when it was released, and Tommy, you remember when the bookstore was up the street? And I walked in, and there it was on display the day after Roswell, the day that the book was released. Big, big display. And I grabbed it, and I read it cover to cover in a day or two. And then I flipped the book over, and I read it again and then again. I took special interest in the book because of his mention of Bell Laboratories and transistors and stuff, because I worked at Bell Laboratories. So there were elements of the book that had my interest, definitely. Of course, there was the Roswell side. But the parts of the book with Corso, with his, not only his, I think his DD-214 was presented in the book, but his military history, of course, photographs with him with different staff members of the Pentagon and the White House are all there. And he did retire as a colonel. So that part of it has been vetted. The story itself, or the stories that were presented in the book, the timelines and everything was really well thought out. And it came from Corso, the guy that actually wrote the book. All he did was just basically translate what Corso had to say. So it came from Corso's mindset. I don't think anything was altered. I don't think the author of the book had any opportunity or would have or has said that he changed anything. Everything came from Corso himself. So if it's true, it's amazing and it's groundbreaking. If parts of the book were fiction or it was just Corso's imagination, then it's a great story. Either way it goes, he did have his proof of what he did in the military there in the book. So, you know, to this day, I've read the book probably 10 times now, and it's really tough and it's really disturbing. It's disturbing on a lot of different counts. So there you go. Now, Ed Walters, that's a different story. Ed Walters out of Gulf Breeze. Bruce McAbee, who I trust and enjoy and know that he, you know, he's a professional, did a lot of research there. And I just want to go on the record and say that I wasn't there. I didn't research, but there was one piece of the story that got a little funky for me when it came to Gulf Breeze. And that is apparently Ed Walters' house when he moved out and it was for sale. They found, either in the garage or in the attic or something, the model that he was photographing. Now, that's it. That's all that I'm going to say. I don't know nothing more than that. You know, I saw the same photographs on the covers of newspapers that everybody else did in the 80s. They were almost too good to be true. I think something was going on out there, though, before and after Gulf Breeze and before and after Ed was in the picture. And that's the fascinating part about Gulf Breeze. So there you go. Let's go back to the phones. Great questions, by the way. Let's go to Mike Wildcard in Dallas, Texas. Mike, welcome to Coast AM.
Hello, Mr. Church. How you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing good, Mike, and good morning to you.
Oh, good morning. I have basically a comment and a question. I'll go with the comment first. Are you familiar with the Black Knight satellite?
Absolutely. Let's go.
Okay. I am fascinated by this thing, and I think it's to me, I think that it's the smoking gun to ufology.
It could be.
And I don't understand why like TV shows like Ancient Aliens and UFO Hunters and things of that nature, they don't have it on there. I have yet to see an episode where they talk about it. It's like they don't want to touch it. It's like a taboo or something. I don't know. And I was just wondering what your take is on that and what you think about it.
Well, did you see the Pepsi movie that came out a couple of weeks ago?
I didn't see it per se, but I did see something on YouTube about it where it was like a they were talking about how
Well, I'll go ahead and I'll fill it in for you, Mike. What Pepsi did a 10-minute movie about the Black Knight satellite. That's what it is. And all of the facts as we know it are presented in the video. Tesla's observation of it, that it sent signals to Earth, that it was tracked, it was in a polar orbit. It's been here for 13,000 years. All of the things that we know about the Black Knight satellite were presented as fact and truth at the beginning of the video. It's more of a short movie. And now, why do the movie? Why do a 10-minute movie like that? I think Usher is narrating, or he's part of it too as well. And why do
what I believe?
Yeah, why do that? Because the message is, we're here to communicate with you, right? But we will only do that, and we will only take things to the next step, and we will only return if you start peace on Earth, and you stop conflict, and you show us the messages. Now, it's a very intriguing film. What's the message? Why do it? You know, with a powerful marketing campaign, with a company like Pepsi Cola, you know, that has the ability, and a worldwide celebrity like Usher. You know, why do it? It's a very intriguing film. Now, Black Knight Satellite, there's a lot of evidence that there was something in a polar orbit, which is something that we couldn't achieve. We didn't have the technology. And if it weighed as many tons as it did, and it was in that orbit, we didn't have the ability, nor did the Soviets have the ability to launch that type of satellite. So what is it? And is it the images that NASA had up that they removed from their image gallery online? And that's a curious thing, too, as well. So I think it's there. I do. I think it's been there for a long time. It was tracked. It was photographed. And there was radio signals coming from it. And they tried to decode it in the 30s, too, as well. And the constellation and the star system that was in the decoding process. So it's a totally intriguing story. There's something to it. Also, Mike, I don't know if you know this, but it apparently changed directions while it was in orbit. It would go east to west and then west to east and then go polar and then disappear and then reappear over time. So it's an intriguing story.
That too. And there was also a comment on this one video I saw where somebody had been watching it for quite a few, for a little while. And this was over a period of time. Days or what have you, and they said they saw it morph, or it changed.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I haven't heard that report, but that would make it even more intriguing, wouldn't it?
Definitely. That would make it more, you know, definitely intelligent, you know, design from somewhere out of this world.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely. Mike, thank you for the phone call, and have a great, safe rest of your morning out there in Dallas, Texas.
You too, and thank you, sir.
Thank you. Let's go to Chad, east of the Rockies, out in Nebraska. Chad, welcome to Coast AM. What's on your mind?
Morning, Jimmy. Hope everything's okay. You know, really interesting show tonight. A lot of good viewpoints and interesting opinions. You know, one of the things that I get questioned about a lot, I spent about 8 years in Iraq and Afghanistan, most of it being Iraq. A lot of people have their own opinions on why we were involved, what was going on, what it was all for. And, you know, what I saw in my own experience is it really, honestly, does come down to oil there. I was at a Ford operating base about 10 kilometers out of a western city called An Najaf. We were trying to drill for water. 50 feet, we were hitting sweet crude oil. You know, which is just, I mean, it's pouring out of the ground there, you know, and a very small portion of Iraq has been explored, the Ramallah oil fields, you know, and the rise of Iraqi oil would be the fall of all the other Middle Eastern oil, especially the Saudis. And we've been in bed with the Saudis on oil for, you know, for the longest time. And, you know, so when people ask why Iraq? It really boils down to the fact that as long as Iraq stays unstable, then they'll never be able to produce their oil. They'll never have the infrastructure for it. And that will keep the other oil producing nations in business. It's not that sinister, and you know, it's a financial issue, and the ISIS uprising is basically because we left a void, we left a vacuum of power there when the U.S. withdrew officially, and even though we're still over there in kind of training missions and everything like that, but you know, we left a void, and ISIS is stepping up to continue to keep Iraq unstable, and that way your Saudi nations and other nations continue to be able to keep on top of producing their oil and the prices.
So you were trying to drill for water, and you're going down a few feet, tens of feet, and you were striking oil. It was just like right there, right on the surface.
Absolutely. You can fly across the Western Desert in Iraq, and the Iraqis, the Arabs that are out in the desert, they dig these kind of slant wells to get water. And basically, they just start digging at an angle into the dirt. For a certain short amount of time, they'll get water in it, but it'll only produce water for so long. And when you're flying over the desert, you will see them filling up with oil. They'll turn black within a very short amount of time. That's how much oil is sitting out in that desert.
Yeah, very interesting. Let me ask you this before I let you go, Jeb. We're going to be up against a break. But out in the Iraqi desert when you were out there, did you guys ever see anything strange in the sky, you know, with all the reports of UFO and unidentified activity out there? Did you guys ever see anything strange?
No. I mean, honestly, you know, I'm not by any means an expert in that. And, of course, there's all kinds of things flying during a war zone. So, in my opinion, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference between, you know, a blacked out, you know, military aircraft or something else. But nothing that would come up on my radar as anything strange, no.
Okay. Well, and when I talk about living in the Matrix, and you went through which, you know, and thank you for your service, and thank you for what you did over there. But when I talk about living in this Matrix, and you see things firsthand, and then you hear the reports, and you see the mass media over here, was it conflicting to you, and were we not getting the straight story?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because, you know, I spent a total of 12 years overseas. I hadn't come back to the U.S. in that amount of time. And when I came back here, the viewpoint of people who had never gone over there was vastly fed by bits of information and personal opinions and things like that. And yeah, the narrative that was given over here seemed quite different to what we had experienced over there. And, you know, it was odd. It took about a year coming back to kind of get back into being in the U.S. and not feeling like such an outsider because of the viewpoints. And, you know, you look at CNN, you look at Fox.
Okay, Chad, I want to thank you for your service and thank you for the phone call. We're up against a break, my brother. You have a great, safe rest of your morning. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. We spend a lot of time choosing the music here. It's a labor of love. And somebody guessed the theme tonight. It was Brian. All right. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We've been talking about conspiracies all night. Are we living in the Matrix? Is it just one big conspiracy that reaches out into everything? Everything that is around us. Well, you know what? I want to hear from you. And if you're on hold, I'm going to get to you. More of your calls right after this. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Daniel, you've been waiting a long time, wild card, up here in Richmond, California. Daniel, welcome to Coast AM.
Jimmy Church, smoking good show tonight. Your caller, Diane, was right, talking about it's all this conspiracy stuff is all about mind control. And yeah, I believe we're in the Matrix. I want to make just three quick points, if I may. Mind control is the main issue. I wanted to mention the artichoke technique. One of George's guests, the late Dr. Fred Bell,
yes,
his book describes this technique real quickly. It's A false lie or a thought is implanted into your mind for 15 minutes repetitively like a broken record. And there's a 20-minute break. And the same false lie or just a thought is planted into your brain for another 45 minutes repetitively. And then there's a 20-minute break. And then for a third time, here comes that false lie or thought for 45 minutes in your head repetitively, this time with interrogation. So kind of like George's guest, Stuart Swedlow, was talking about, this stuff is work. It goes way back to the 20s and 30s, and it's working with scalar physics coming from HARP-like satellites. And our family of listeners, Jimmy, what a banging show tonight, brother. Our family of listeners are really educated because this is a real educational show. And we're aware, I was telling Tom, we're aware of the Hadron and Collider, and we're aware that they got it to work. So I believe not just are we in the matrix, but my God, we're the aliens. You know, we're the time jumpers. And if you were to announce time travel, you wouldn't just do it in the past or in the present and the future. I believe we're in a duplicate presence. And I do got a website up. It's www.timejumpworld.com, or you can check out timejumpteam.com. It takes about 20 seconds to load to your phone. And I, you know, it's not monetized. I just tell the truth about my experience being bioimplanted. I talk about four ways to time jump and cloning. And I wanted to mention one last thing. The Illuminati, there's a book out called the New Testament, and it's a great read, one of my favorite books. And when I ordered this book,
Daniel, really quick, we're up against, I've got 20 phone calls that I want to try to get in before the end of the show. I've only got 10 minutes for it, but thank you for all of your points, and I agree with you, and you're absolutely, you know, right.
You know what, perhaps we can, you know, on page 62 of this New Testament, it describes the entire atomic spectrum of how this mind control is working. And it, when I ordered the book, I'm thinking this book should be here any minute. All of a sudden, ding dong, it's UPS. And then I hear it in my head, turn to page 62, where I go to the glossary, and chapter 3 is all about mind control. It starts on page 62. The last thing I want to say is that this was a smoking good show, and I think that the family of listeners, we should, you know, maybe mention to George, petition, you've got a million listeners, petition and confront Obama while he's in the term and demand disclosure with all the coast-to-coast international family behind them.
Thank you so much for the phone call, Daniel. I couldn't agree with you more. Let's go to Wildcard Gary, way out in Jacksonville, Florida. Gary, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Hey there, Jimmy. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. Anyway, what I'd like to tell you today is the third UFO sighting I've seen two before, but I'll tell you the third one. It was probably the most riveting one of all of them.
Hey, Gary, your call is breaking up. You need to call us back, and we'll get you right at the front of the line if we can do that. Let's go to Joel in Kansas City. Joel, welcome to Coast AM.
Thank you, sir. Can you hear me all right?
Got you, Joel.
All right. I just want to say, Mr. Church, I respect you and your opinion and the fact that you're able to clarify where it comes from and how you feel or think in certain aspects of certain topics, which you've done eloquently tonight. My question is more along the lines of modern conspiracy, which was Hillary Clinton taking her, having the interview with the writer and talking about how she would be on the forefront of disclosure if she was elected to the office.
Yeah, I spoke to that writer today myself personally, and I discussed with him everything and how it went down, what went and where. And so more on that on tomorrow night's show. Okay, but follow up on that. But what's your point?
Well, my point is this: is a lot of it's been discredited, a lot like through the Huffington Post and stuff like that, to where it's been more tongue in cheek than anything. But if people look at her track record and more or less, especially her husband, with her connections to the Rockefeller that was wanting to disclose more of the hidden files of the UFOs that was in the United States before he died, it just seems that there should be a little bit more. I guess what I would more or less ask is, do you feel like that maybe there is something that is going to be coming out within the next couple of years that would actually allow the United States to be in the same league as the UK with their ministry declassifying a bunch of their files?
Joel, I'll be direct to you, which is this. There is something going on. We know it. The government knows it. The evidence is there. We know this. Now, at what point do we all get on the same page? That is the question. I don't believe, this is what I honestly, I don't think that there's a point. I think that there is a point coming up where it's going to be out of their control. Okay, and that's the collective consciousness right now is pushing for one thing where they don't need to admit to it. If they come forward and say yes, then that means that they've been lying to us. So there's, you know, for 50, 60, 70, 80 years. So that's what needs to be avoided here. If something comes down and lands on the White House lawn, then that's a bad situation for them. So I think the disclosure is being trickled out now. I think we can move on past the point of whether they're here or not. That question's already been answered. It's how they are going to come clean and how they are going to do it. Trickling the information to us about water on Mars, or trickling information to us about a megastructure around a distant planet, or this kind of information trickling down just gets us acclimated to it. And eventually it's just going to be a story. And that's what I think. And I appreciate the phone call, Joel. You have a great, safe rest of your morning. Let's go to Mike in Cleveland, Ohio, wild card. Mike, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I just wondered if you thought about the relationship between autism, cow mutilations, and the Ebola virus.
Well, what would that relationship be?
Advanced prions. Not like the CJD disease.
Right.
But typically a lot more heinous, I guess I should say.
Okay.
If you look at what happened with Ebola, I think that was CIA fabricated in Africa. In the eastern United States, those advanced prions are now advancing into the upper lakes of New York. So all the reservoirs for the East Coast, for New York City.
Well, are you saying that it was, I can understand the man-made part of it, but are you saying it was an accident, it escaped from a laboratory, or that it was intentional?
No, I'd say the CIA, it was an advanced test to see, because it was a qualifying event in 2006. So in 2018, things are going to start happening. I don't think there's going to be a zombie apocalypse, but they have to get rid of the body some way. And in order to get rid of the bodies while burning them, they came up with Ebola to say, hey, look, you know, all these bodies are dying. We've got to burn them. Because if not, when the body decomposes, it gets into the water supply.
Well, Mike, let me ask you this, though. The Ebola scare, which certainly that's what it was, it didn't take off. You know, that's the part of it that, so if it...
It was a test case, but I'm seeing that goes in correlation with autism for children, because these advanced prions are getting into the developing brains of children that are only the size of your thumb inside a woman's womb. So that's what's affecting children, why the advanced prions are affecting the autism rate in the United States. Cow mutilations, when the aliens come down to the United States, the purest beef that they found is the beef in the western side of Nebraska. And if you look at Linda Moulton Howe's records, that's where most of the cow mutilations are happening.
What about that Argentinian beef? I hear that's pretty good.
Well, I guess it is, but I haven't done the research down there. But they don't want the infected prions in the world to affect them.
Right.
That's why they do that.
Right.
So if you look at the whole big picture, somebody's got to do something in the next couple of years. If not, we're going to start dropping like zombies.
Well, Mike, let me...
That's why everybody's thinking about all this stuff before 2018.
Sure, sure. And let me ask you this, Mike. If you had your Starship Cruiser, right, and you took off, right, across the universe, and you found a planet with some life on it, okay, some things that look like cattle, whatever, would you go down and feel, would you feel guilty if you checked out what you were seeing on some other planet? No, you wouldn't, would you?
No.
Exactly. So, and we experiment on cattle here ourselves. We don't have to be aliens to do it.
I think the CIA is involved with them, with when they come here to help them select what they need to eat.
The CIA is involved in cattle mutilations?
Well, yeah, but they're involved with that, but they're also involved with the aliens that come down to the planet.
So
they can't feed them beef, you know. I mean, look at the warnings that were out 15 years ago about the beef that was in Europe. That is nothing compared to the advanced prions that are developing now. Look at the research that is being done at Case Western University, along with the WHO and the CDC, room 138.
Okay, I'll look into it. I think it's interesting, Mike. It's interesting, but, you know, I just think it's more observation. I don't know if there's anything too sinister about, provoking things into our food system. I'm not too sure about that, but it's interesting, and I will check it out. Let's go to Nathan, west of the Rockies, out in Yakima, Washington. Nathan, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Good morning, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm doing good, Nathan.
I was just calling because I heard you ask one of the callers before the break if he had had any UFO sightings in Iraq, and I've had a couple sightings myself, but I'm actually calling to tell you about one that a friend of mine had while we were stationed in southern Afghanistan.
Really? Tell me, what happened?
Well, we're drivers. We do convoy security and escort them to military outposts. And I wasn't there at the time, but a very close personal friend of mine I've known for over 15 years, when they didn't have transitional housing on the outposts, we'd just sleep on our cots. And it was just out in the country, there's no...
Like under the stars? Under the stars, Nathan?
Yeah, you could see all the stars. And he says that he saw a craft come, and he couldn't actually see the craft. It was cloaked, I guess. But he saw the light from the stars bending around it, and he said he could clearly see, like, a triangle shape. And this is on a military outpost, and it always... It happened in 2009. He says he's never told anybody about it until he told me about it last summer. So, I just thought it was interesting. I've never heard of any other sightings in Afghanistan, so I thought it was strange to hear one from a personal friend, and it irks me that people still feel like they can't talk about that. And if there's any other veterans out there with stories, I'd encourage them to tell them. I'd be very interested to hear them.
Thank you so much for the phone call, Nathan, and thank you for your service, brother. And you have a great, safe rest of your morning. Let's go to Michael, east of the Rockies, way out there in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Michael, welcome to Coast AM.
Hello. I'm going to be quick. We can talk about it later. I'll give my number to Tom. The reason the Arab Spring started was because of Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie's interview with Zahi Hawass started the Arab Spring. I was the first caller after Zahi Hawass got off. There was an immediate uprising in the West Bank because of what I said. Then Barack Obama rushed to Cairo because I brought the pyramids into this issue. Now, just after Veterans Day, I had a conversation with a retired Navy Commodore here on another radio station here in this area. He has visited the pyramids. When Graham Hancock cut my conversation short with him back in November, just after Veterans Day, he did it because I suggested that there's reason to believe that the Bible described the more than 100 pyramids that appear across the length and breadth of Egypt as storehouses built by Joseph.
Well, Michael, let me jump in. Michael, we have less than 1 minute to the end of the show, so I want to be able to respond. So you've got about 15 seconds. What's up?
Okay. I can feed a family of four for a year with a seed that I can put in my back pocket. The Navy Commodore said you could feed millions and millions of people for a year with the seed that you could fit in one pyramid, and that doesn't include the fact that there are 113 of them in Egypt, and it doesn't include the fact that the space under the pyramid is huge and undiscovered, and they were also used to store seeds.
Thank you for the phone call, Michael, and thank you for everybody that called in tonight. So Michael is saying that the pyramids were used for seed storage. Interesting. Well, you know, I'm one to say, question everything. And when it comes to Egypt, when it comes to the Giza Plateau, we know absolutely nothing today. There is nobody, and I mean nobody, knows what's going on out of Giza, and I hope we get those answers soon. This has been Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Thank you to Dan. Thank you to Tommy. Thank you to Lisa. Thank you to George. Thank you to Stephanie. And thank you to Cindy. Cindy knows who she is. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and this has been Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you tomorrow night. William Henry and John Edmonds right here. Everybody be safe. Go Backley Tepe.